July 8, 1984, Seven Oaks, California. Neil Pierce, interviewed by Kay Beagle. You ready?
Yeah, I got it. Got it going.
Okay, so when we talked about South Dakota on the first tape, you said that there were different ways to take up the land, and one was a tree claim. Could you explain what that is?
Well, as I remember, that was really before my time, but they had to plant so many acres of trees on that piece of land and live on it the same as they did to the others. It was the difference. But I don't know. I think they had to have a well and a building on it the same as preemption or homestead.
Okay. And you said that other people in your family came out to South Dakota, not just your grandparents?
Well, my great-grandparents on my mother's side came the same time that my grandparents did.
Yeah.
And they had a half a section of land right side to side.
Yeah.
My great-grandparents took the tree claim, and my grandparents just had, I don't know, either a homestead or preemption, I don't know which. Homestead, I think. See, that is the same as my Pierce grandparents. They had a preemption, and my aunt had a homestead, I think it was. But they all have to have a well and a building, a place that they can live on so much time a year. I don't know, just seemed like it was probably a month a year or something like that.
And did most people take up a half section or?
I don't think you could take but a quarter section. So that's all my grandparents did, great grandparents, my other grandparents, and my aunt. Those are the four that I know of.
How many acres in this section?
160 acres.
And is that about how much one family could farm?
Well, out of a Cadillac at that time, yes. It was very sod, and they had that's pretty hard to plow to start with. And they just a little at a time, they'd probably raise enough, get enough so they could have enough feed for their cow and a horse or two that they had, probably a team of horses. And some of them used ox teams. They didn't even have horses. And try to raise enough feed was the prairie grass so they could feed them. So there wasn't enough farmland at that time that there was much grain and feed for them outside of hay. And then they usually had gardens too.
You said one set of grandparents came in a covered wagon?
Yes, my mother's folks, that's my grandparents, and the great-grandparents come from Iowa and immigrated in covered wagons with ox teams.
What was their name?
Name.
And why did they come on train?
Well, really, I guess there's no train from down there that they could get to. We were handed and they decided it was easier to come that way and they'd try to get on a train. Then it was 25 miles from where they wanted to be when they got to the end of the railroad.
And had they owned land in Iowa?
Well, I don't know that. I imagine they just rented. Of course, they were fairly, my grandparents was quite young at that time, but, and I don't remember anything about my great-grandparents at all, only just what they told me, and I see the house that they lived in when they were on this tree claim.
And can you see the trees that they planted?
Yeah, they're still there, a lot of them. Black elder trees. They're getting pretty thin down now, but then my grandparents, when they left the farm, they moved to the little town of our hometown, Wolfie. I don't know how many years in town there before they passed away. My great grandparents. So that's about all I can tell about them. I come up there.
Okay. I'm having a little trouble with the geography of South Dakota here. And Wilkie was for the railroad cross?
Yes.
So it was a pretty big town.
Well, it never has been, about 400 or 500, I guess it got up to 600 once, so close to it.
Well, but relative to the town that only had one general store or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is a extra busy place. That's why it had a large hotel, because traveling men going through those trains and railroads, they'd stay overnight or however it happened to work out.
Yeah.
So they'd have a place to stay, because they didn't travel. That's the only way to travel, most of the traveling men did.
Yeah.
At that time. That's why they had such a huge hotel. It wasn't so huge now, but it was for then. And I can remember when that whole city block burnt that the hotel was on. All but one, no, two buildings.
When was that?
Oh, me.
Approximately, when you were a little kid or grown up, or?
Well, I would say I was probably about 20, maybe a little before that. Probably in, probably 17 or 18 when that happened. I won't say that for sure.
Was it ever rebuilt?
No, not like it was. There are a lot of business places that are not allowed, but there's a big service station put out in the corner where the hotel was. And then there was a big hardware store about halfway down the block was built.
Was there ever another big hotel?
No. Never. But the fellow that had the service station, he had some cabins there on that corner. Yeah, the little hotel on down the street in the next block, that was always there.
But it wasn't like this big
hotel? Oh, no, it wasn't even further big than that. And I can't remember how many rooms, but it was, it went clear to the alley, it packed it, but it was probably 60, 70 foot wide, and probably a couple hundred foot long. I don't know just how long it had. Half a block would be, but it went to the alley.
More than one story?
Yeah, three, if I remember right. Three stories. So it was a pretty good sized building for that time. But being a double railroad track like that, well, they had quite a lot of business.
But it was bigger than Miranda and these other towns that you've been talking about.
Yes. It's quite a little larger, although Miranda was pretty big for such a place about, well, they had one railroad track through there, but
yeah. What was the biggest town you went to when you were growing up, when you were here?
Here in South Dakota.
And how much bigger is Huron?
Oh, I don't know what it was then. It's about 15,000 now.
Was any of these towns a county seat?
Yeah, here is the county seat. Of Beaver County.
And all these other places
were
in Beaver County?
Well, Miranda wasn't.
But it wasn't a county seat, but another county.
No. I think Falkton was. And what county was that?
Falk County.
Oh, yeah, Falk County.
So Huron was the place that had the courthouse and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And did you go there often?
Not real often, not till after we got a car. And the first car my dad had, if he could make that 25 miles in an hour, he was really flying. That's all that's happening, anyhow. But I remember my uncle went to Hillman, my dad went. And he was kind of loudmouthed, and he was a lot of fun anyhow. And he said, "I got Grant drove that old car, and we got home in an hour from here, and that was really flying." Well, it was, because it was all the heck of old Perry Road. There wasn't any grades or anything like that. Just, I don't know if you even know what an old Perry Road is. Well, when the width of a wagon, there are two paths, and then there's one down the middle, because a lot of people go a single horse on a buggy, and that's what the middle one was. And that's where it was just a ditch. And lots of times, first old cars, the ditch would get so deep that they'd drag on the dirt. And if there happened to be a rock along there, it was kind of rough on the car. But people soon learned to not watch the rock after one or two accidents. But that was the way kind of road they had at that time. So, hour and 25 miles, it was doing pretty good. And that's where they had the state fair this year in South Dakota. They still have it every year.
So did you go to that when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. That was one of the big things. I can remember when the folks would drive a horse down there at 25 miles fair. And we'd live in the stable, stay all night. And they'd go to the fair that day, all the programs and everything, and stay part of the next day. Then they'd start home in time for they'd get home before dark.
So Joan must have had a hotel too then.
Oh, yes. This fair had a hotel. It was, well, like, if that was the end of the railroad, the Northwestern Railroad, when my grandparents came from Michigan, that was as far as they could go on a railroad track.
And you had a lot of other relatives around? Were all your aunts and uncles in South Dakota?
Yes.
Or none of them were left behind in Michigan or Iowa or anything?
No, not any of mine. There were some of my folks' aunts and uncles left.
Yeah.
Back in Michigan and Iowa.
Yeah. But all the children of your mothers and your father's generation came back to South Dakota.
That's right.
And did his mother and father come from big families?
Well, my father, there were four in his family and six in my mother's.
And did many of them get quarter sections of their own, or how did they?
Well, most of them had to buy their land. Like my father bought from his father, which was his preemption. I don't have any idea what he paid for it, because he bought, like I told you before, he bought all the stuff that he had, furniture and livestock and everything that was on the farm. But,
Most of the rest of them
farm? Yeah, all farmers.
Well, you said what?
All but my aunt that Grandma Mary, she was a school teacher in Seattle.
Yeah, but you said one worked in a store, too. Didn't
you? Oh, that was an uncle that married a sister of my dad's. And he, when they moved to Miranda, he and his daughter went up there with them and was in this store together at Miranda. Now, I'm not sure if they was in the whatever they had when they went to Clockton, but they wasn't up there very long till they started the store in Miranda, and then that's when they went together, I know. So, that's really the only ones that was in the store.
What other kind of people lived in the towns
and
like Wolfie, were they mostly people
who
come from other parts of the Midwest, or?
Biggest share of them, yeah. From other states. At the time my grandparents came here, I doubt if there's anybody that was born there. Of course, that was 100 years from now.
But there weren't people who came from Europe or anything?
Oh, I imagine. But I don't know. Of course, my parents, my grandparents, I think he came from Holland, as I understand. And I don't know if grandma was, if he met her over there someplace, or if he met her after they came to the States or what. And they went to Pennsylvania, where they called the Pennsylvania Dutchman, Dutch settlement. That's where they landed when they came to the States. I don't know much about that part.
Was there one of the kids in your school who didn't know English or anything? No. Oh,
well, our Johansson's, our closest neighbors, their boys were, they couldn't talk hardly anything but German when they first started school. But they were from Iowa, so I don't know. Of course, the parents of these boys was from Germany. And I suppose after they come here, they just talk German. That's all they ever talked. But that's the only one that I really know of. Of course, I had an uncle and aunt who were Bohemians, and I don't know if their parents come from Bohemia, or did Anselmo from Gims, Grandpa Purple come from? Maybe about the only ones that I know. Of course, there's a lot of Germans around there, but I don't know how many of them they come from. I suppose the older people come from Germany.
Were there Indians around?
Oh, in South Dakota, yes, out the Rosebud Reservation, there's a lot of Indians.
How far is that away?
Oh, that's close to 100 miles from where we lived. And they always come to the state fair, and they give them a place to camp, and they're pretty good entertainers at the fairground. But I was always scared of them when I was a kid. I just didn't want to have anything bigger than an old big chief Indian with the feathers and all that makeup on that scared the death out of me.
But you didn't see him at Wolfie or around town or anything?
Not really. They would, same when that state fair was on, they would, of course they all had dry horses, all kind of buggies and stuff, and they're all junk. It looked like they were ready to fall to pieces, and they'd come in from those bed reservations, and all these fancy clothes and everything, and the state fair had a special place for these Indians to set up. They had their teepees and all that stuff, and there was always a powwow and all that stuff. And it was quite entertaining at that time. I don't think they ever come to fair. They hadn't for years before we came. But I can remember them because I scared them.
Why were you scared them?
I don't know. I really don't know. And that Indians is one thing I always dreamt of. And I always scared them. I just don't know why.
You said you never fished when you were growing up. Did
there
was there anything around you to hunt, or
did
people do that?
Oh yes, there was all kind of hunting. I mean, pheasants flight in there. It was prairie chickens, quail, and in the spring and in the fall, ducks and geese as they're going back and forth. Then I can remember when they got pheasants started there, the state fair. Had a yard there, and I don't know how many they had there, but every farmer that had any trees, they gave him two hens and a rooster to take home. And that's the way they got started in South Dakota, and they was really sick for several years. It's pretty big business. People come from all over the United States there to pheasant hunt.
Yeah.
fly in from Mexico and Florida, Chicago. There's a big buffalo door. They still come from Chicago to my cousins.
Can you remember, were there tourist places?
I mean,
what kind of accommodations were made for these people?
Well, hotels and towns, or lots of farmers, for the hunters would take hunters in, and they'd hunt for them. And they got paid well, because these people went to our cousins with nothing to, for, leave my fish, my cousin's wife, $50 tip. After dinner or something like that.
Even in the 1920s, or?
Oh, yes, back when they first started. I don't remember just when they did start pheasants, when they were sick. I guess it was before we married, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, it was in the, I'd say in the early 20s. Yeah. The farmers were always quite accommodating because there were so many of them, they wanted to get rid of the pheasants, they ruined their crops. We've seen old rooster pheasant go right down a cornrow after it was planted. He knew right where that corn was. He just dig it out till he got through, that's all. And they did eat a lot of grain. So, when they're sick, they're glad to have hunters come in there. And they help them hunt. And these hunters, like, come from the big cities, they didn't, money didn't mean anything to them. And they just pay them well. That's all they have to it.
I guess what made me think of it is that you were talking about somebody who had a service station with a few cabins. And I wondered if there were other places that accommodated tourists like that.
Well, not in Wolfsea, I don't think. I think that was the only one after that hotel burnt. Or that other hotel, that little hotel. But they usually got to Huron. And that was after they had cars. And,
mm-hmm.
and they had plenty of accommodation down there. Most of them like, you know, always like to go to bars and stuff like that. Those kind of people. And they go down there, they have nice entertainment, well, honey.
The other thing I was thinking about in that regard is that Ethel said that they were working on Mount Rushmore while you were living in the Black Hills.
Yes. We went down there.
How far was it from where you lived?
Oh, I'll see. It's been about 40 miles, 40, 50 miles.
Yeah.
And we went down there to see it, and the road was so bad up to this mountain. Our old car ahead wasn't hard to climb the hill. But when we got there, there was a man working on the first face out in Washington. He was working on the side of his nose, and it looked just about like a fly sitting up there from where we were working on it. Yeah, we watched that pretty well all the way through, off and on.
You kept going back?
Oh, yeah, we've been back. We didn't go back last year, we were there, but every time we've been in the Black Hills, we'd go up there. But it's so commercialized now. Big hotels and souvenir shops and this and that. And I don't know how big a parking area is for people. I guess they even got campgrounds and trailer parks up in there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when did they start the commercial aspect? Well, about the time they got the faces finished, after they got a good road up there. There wasn't too much activity until they got a road up there that was decent. You could get up there, and that's about all you could say when the cars they had those days. We had an old 90 over them we drove.
Yeah?
That was a 1917 model when we got up there the first time. I don't think that is in... I don't know if we went up there in 29 or... No, not 29, probably 30. 30 and 31. Yeah, 30 and 31.
Do you think of anything else I should have asked you about South Dakota?
I can't seem to think anything unless you're on me to tell something about the dust storms.
Okay, tell about the dust storms. You told them a little bit.
Yeah, but I'll tell you when we're on over at the table.
Okay.
Well, this first one was in November, and I can't remember what. 33. And that is the worst one.
What caused it?
Nobody knows. Well, it was the drought partly, but it was an extra regular hurricane storm. I forgot how high the wind was. And there's a lot of the poor buildings blew down even in that storm. And it's nothing but a windstorm. That's all it was. And the dust, you can see it coming so far, it looks like a storm, but you can still see the top of it. A lot of times you couldn't see the top of storms when they get close, especially. And it just, you can just see it, it's just rolling. And when it hit, it just turned dark at all. And they had several of these real bad. Well, lots of them, but see the depression, but not bad as I can.
And it just didn't rain all year, or?
It just didn't rain. I don't think it didn't rain any that year. And like I said, in 35, people had a little crop. Then in 36, the year we came to California, my brother and I put a crop in, and it never rained enough that it ever come up. And that's when I swore off a farm on me. Grasshoppers were sick, and it just like to put a shade over the sun. We had a porch on the farm on the southeast corner, and in the afternoon they'd get on there. So thick that you couldn't even see through the screen. It was just completely covered. They'd get in the shade when it's kind of cool. Not cool, but it's cooler out in the sun. So, we've lived in a desert 17 years, and I never seen anything like that. In the desert, really.
Mm-hmm.
But that's. Yes. When we left there, on a lot of the farms, the sand had drifted out of the field of the dust till it gets as high as a fence post. And on a farm near where Ethel lived, where her folks lived, at the time we came to California, there was a whole farm there, and it was nothing but sandbanks. Piled up the sandy land, and there's one place down by Wolfie that it is putting there buried the building. It is clear up the eaves, just like snow. Just drifted and drifted, so they were putting there the building buried.
Yes.
What?
Go ahead.
I don't think we got any pictures of it. We wouldn't buy any cameras and pictures then. But it's just something that's unbelievable, hardly. Most people wouldn't hardly believe it. But the government did go in there and leveled all that land, and it's all farmland now, good land. And they had storm shelters. Let in and planted trees and made all the farmers farm in strips so they didn't have these big open fields. And it has stopped it. The government finished the trees and everything like that. There's not too many of the trees left now, but there was a lot of trees for several years.
Well,
That's about all be about the sandstorm, dust storms. Well, there's lots of things happen, but...
Did a lot of people leave?
A lot of people left. Just packed up and left. Just like we did. I mean, our home farm, my brother moved on to us. And things got better as we come to California.
There you go.
Another half hour. You must have a little air.
Just a little, not much.
Yeah.